singing this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with me as I pray. We've got a busy day, and we need God's blessing on the services. So let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless our time together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given to us. Thank You just for all that we get to enjoy. I think of the seven babies that we dedicated this morning. What a precious gift that is. We thank You for our homes, our family. We thank You for our church family this morning. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that unites us. We thank You for the common bond that we have in Christ. Lord, we thank You for salvation, the free gift of God. Lord, I pray that You would just bless the services. I pray whatever the need of the hour is, that You would meet that. You know our individual hearts, our individual needs. I pray that You would speak to us as individuals. I pray that we would hear Your voice and respond accordingly, and we'll give You all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Visitation day, and we didn't get
the village up Black River done on Saturday. And I was asking Brother Shaver, I said, can you get Hopkinsville done on one Saturday? And he said, no, cannot do that. But we did it one Saturday. We knocked the doors in Black River. We had a good time doing that. Well, we're delighted to have you with us this morning. This is your very first time with us. We would just like to give you a gift and a token of our appreciation for being with us. A little Bible Promise book. There's also a card and a pen. If you fill out that card, drop it in the plate after a while. We appreciate that. And keep the pen as well. So this is your very first time visiting with us. If you just slip up your hand, I know we got some guys over here. And there, Fishing Buddy Tom's here. I'm thankful. Anybody in this section over here, very first time? Okay. All right. Well, what we'd like to do is stand up and greet each other. So let's all stand together and find somebody next to you. What's their name?
How you doing? Good. Ken Shamer.
I've met you before, Jerry.
Okay, Jerry. God bless you. I couldn't remember that. I'm sorry.
A lot of faces.
Okay, yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. How you doing, buddy? Good, 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 good. How you doing, young lady? What's your name?
Allie
what? It's so nice to meet you, Allie Grace. How old are you?
Nine.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. What's your name, young lady?
I'm her sister. And I'm 10.
10 years old. What's your name? Anna and Allie. And what's my name? Huh? Hey, how are you? Good. Ken Schaefer. Okay, good. God bless you. It's been a couple of years. Yeah, nice to meet y'all. Now, where do you live?
I live in Harrisville.
That's right. Your husband works for the prison?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that now. Hey, man, I get points here. That's awesome.
I guess so. That's good.
Ma'am, how are you? Good to see you. Hello, sir. How are you? Ken Shaver.
Victor Rodriguez.
Where are you from, Victor Rodriguez?
Puerto
Rico. Are you? Where in Puerto Rico?
Same.
Okay, God bless you. I've only been to Puerto Rico twice. Been to San Juan, then I've been to Rosie Rose.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I was flying down there. That's great. I'm glad to have you. God bless you. Hello, ma'am. How are you? Good, good, good. Your husband treated us so good the other day. I'm very grateful.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you? Good to see you. God bless you. Oh, no, no, no. Wait, good crowd this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Is it always like this?
Sunday mornings are usually pretty cool. It's a little cooler, I think.
That's awesome.
Brought out the chairs this morning.
They must not have heard I was coming.
I'm not going to stay for the afternoon service. I got a couple of grandkids getting back.
Oh, God bless you. I sure do understand. Where?
In Mexico.
Okay, yeah, you bet. Sure, I was there.
Ate
lunch there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ate lunch at a pizza place down there.
Yeah.
That's good. Amen. That's great.
But it's good to see you.
Yeah, good seeing you. I appreciate you. Good seeing you. Hello, ma'am. How are you? How are you? Good. Good to see you. Not yet. Yeah, it's packed out in there. It is packed out. How are you? Good, good, good. Yes, she does. And their names are... I know this, but I forgot. Olive and who?
Olive and August.
Koenig and August. Hi. Hi. Well, I appreciate you. God bless you. You doing okay? Who is that? Papa John, yeah, I wish I had his money. That's it. See y'all later. Welcome home, young man.
Thank you.
God bless you. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate your service.
Good to be back.
Well, I bet it is. What number is that for you?
2.
Okay. Yeah, God bless you, man.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, I bet. You bet. You bet. Well, God bless you. Hey, lady, good seeing you. Good, I'm Ken.
Sarah,
how you doing? Ken Shaver.
Mike Phillips.
From where, Mike Phillips?
Dallas, Texas.
I heard you just lost a quarterback.
We did?
Yeah, he broke two broken vertebrae.
I didn't even know about that.
Where in Dallas?
South of Dallas, Arlington.
Yes, yeah, you know real well. I sure do. I got a friend who pastors down there. Well, he did. Yeah. He retired. Bob Smith was his name down there. And then my in-laws live in Waxahachie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my wife's a Michigander. I'm a Buckeye. I pastor at Fort Campbell. Right outside the gate. Been there since 01. I flew Blackhawks there for about 15 years. So what do you do? What's your MOS?
Lead problem.
I appreciate you. How many times have you been downrange?
When I lived basic, I was shooting for you.
Did you go with him? No. Now, y'all have any kids? Well, hey, buddy. Yeah, he's a happy... You look happy, don't you? What's your son's name?
Emmett.
Oh, great name, man. I don't want to ask where that came from. Hey, buddy, that's a great name. Powerful name. You need to live up to your name. You sure do. Awesome. How long y'all been going here? How'd you hear about the church?
On the internet.
That's good. That's great. That's good. That's good for you. Where'd you go to church in Texas?
Church of Christ.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to find out as much as you can about what he says. One of the reasons I appreciate this pastor so much is he's a Bible teacher. You know what I mean? And it's a thus saith the Lord. I tell people at our church, it doesn't matter what Ken Shaver thinks. What matters is what does God think?
Yeah.
And that's him. Yeah, and I'm very, very grateful for that. So that's good. Thank you. How old are you?
21.
Oh, man. I used to be 21. I don't even have kids that young anymore. Oh, God bless you. Shaver. Nice to meet you. Hi, Dana. Now, where are y'all from? What part? Mecca. We call that Mecca for we helicopter pilots. That's awesome. That's good. Where in Enterprise? Where are you? How old are you? I went to First Baptist in Enterprise when I was down at Rucker for a year. It's awesome. 1980. Yeah, it's a long time ago. You know what? We were just in transition. The new guy had just come in when I was there, and I can't remember. Of course, that was a long time ago for me. So, well, God bless y'all. Glad to have you. Thank you. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm Ken.
Fernando.
Nice to meet you, Fernando. Where are you from?
Fernando.
Are you? That's great. Are you in the military?
Yes, sir.
What do you do?
I'm in communications.
Are you? That's great, Fernando. God bless you. Can tell. I know that the light of his presence dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem.
blessed Redeemer. All the day long I sing, for I cannot be silent. Guarded my footsteps in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. The need of my heart made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down in glory. Of time, I have a future in heaven for sure. There in those mansions sublime,
service. I thank you for bringing everyone here, especially all the new faces or
especially. Please bless this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Parents and children, like a baby, I should
And he can't know Lord is the Savior in our church. And what a precious thing it is that now we're dedicating their child to the Lord. So let's pray for them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the example and the testimony already, the Palo Mountains. Thank you for the important role that they play for you. We thank you for the friends that came here today to support them in their decision to dedicate their child to the Lord. And we pray for peace. Lord, I pray that you would just protect this child. I pray that your hedge of protection would be around the Palo Mountain home. I pray that they would just be able to empower them to fulfill their vow to you, that they will raise their child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for the Jacksons. They were very diligently down in our junior church. Both of them, young family, go to Steve's Howell. 23. When I was 23, I thought I was pretty old. You know? it's you that he has sold out to the Lord, him and his wife. We're thankful for that. So let's pray for their family. Lord, we thank you for the Jackson family. And we thank you for how you've used them here. And Lord, I pray that you continue to bless them and strengthen them for your work. Lord, we pray for Amber Elizabeth. We thank you for the precious life that they hold in their hands. Lord, I pray that you would just fill them both with your wisdom. Protect them, Lord. I pray that you'd watch over their home. And Lord, I pray that little Amber would just love you and serve you and give you her heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pray for the whites here. John is up here too. I'm going to pray for John since he's up here. We appreciate the whites, and they are a blessing for the Jackson. His father is in the ministry, and he's been assistant pastor for how long?
6 years.
And he works for who? He works for his dad. Now, that's a miracle. I worked for my dad only for about 2 or 3 years. But let's pray for the whites. Lord, we thank you for John and Jessica. Thank you for them, and thank you for the blessing that they are here. We thank you for little John, and I pray that you just bless him and his life. And Lord, I pray that you just bless Adonna Jane. I pray that you would just watch over her. Lord, I pray that you would give John and Jessica wisdom as they raise their child for you. I pray that you'd protect their home, bless their home in a special way. Lord, I pray that just the angels of heaven would feel welcome in the white home. Lord, I pray that that would just be a holy place set apart for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I just got a smile. I just got a smile from David. Thank you for the Lions family. David is number six. They're the ones with the big van in the back. And their goal is to fill that whole 12-passenger van up. And so we appreciate that. Well, let's pray for the Lions. Lord, we thank you for Chris and Amanda. We thank you for the blessing that they are. Thank you for them serving you here and even today serving you down in the junior church. Lord, thank you for the example that they are to their children. I pray that you would just watch over them, bless them as they have a full house and you call them blessed. Yeah, their quiver is full of children, and we thank you, Lord, for just blessing them. And we pray for little David Christopher. We pray that you would just bless him. I pray that he would be just a man of God. I think of the man he was named after, David in the Bible, man after God's own heart. May that be said of little David here as well. Lord, we pray that you just bless this home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In case you were wondering, Bonnie is expecting. And they have a full home too. You are expecting number five. Expecting number five. We're thankful for Paul and Bonnie. And I got the spelling right. Except for that. serve the Lord full-time in Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and we'll pray for them and pray for God's blessing on their home. Lord, we thank you for Paul and Bobby. We thank you for their home. We thank you for their full nest, and we thank you for the one that's on the way. What a blessing that is. Lord, we pray for Adeline Grace. Lord, we pray that you just watch over her and bless her. Lord, I pray that you would just give her parents wisdom to raise her up, and I pray that she would just be a woman of God. I pray that she'd be a woman of faith. I pray that you would just guide and direct every aspect of her life. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Hey, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and do that.
Maria. She means a lot to our church family here. She was the very first convert that we had here at First Baptist Church. And personal visitation at her home. She was saved in her home. A special night. She didn't have any friends here. Over there in Philadelphia, she literally sat on the floor, opened up the Bible, and just before she prayed and asked Christ to go to heaven, it took several hours because Mrs. Kubik was with us, and she kept on talking. So Maria, where would you go if you died? Right before she prayed and asked the Lord to save her, she said, I will go to hell. And she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And she's been an important part of our church. We love her very dearly and her family. And we pray for little Maximus. Lord, we thank you for Maria. Thank you for her salvation. And thank you for the witness that she is here in the neighborhood, visitors here this morning that she invited. We thank you for her testimony. Lord, I pray that you'd bless Maria. Give her wisdom. I pray that you would protect her home. Watch over her. I pray for Damien and Diamond, Lord. I pray that you bless them. And now I pray for little Maximus, little Max. Lord, I pray that he will be a man of God. I pray that he would just grow up with your watch care over him. Please guide him and direct him. Lord, I pray that you would draw him to yourself in a very powerful way. And just use him for the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I have known your pastor since 1995, back when he had hair. And I'm very grateful to watch what the Lord has been doing in his life. And now he's given him a wonderful wife, and he's given him a wonderful family, and he's given him a wonderful church. It is certainly good to see what God's doing right here among you. And I appreciate him and his wife and their desire to raise their children to love God. You know, we need more multi-generational churches, not just where we're trying to serve the Lord, but our children, even our grandchildren, are growing up to serve the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate that. Let's pray for them, and let's pray for little Teddy. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for Pastor Jack and for his wife. And I pray that you'd bless them, give them wisdom as parents, Lord, that they would raise their children to grow up to love you. And they would see, Lord, not just the challenges of the ministry, but they would see the blessings of being in the ministry as well. And Lord, I pray for little Theodore Howard, God, that he would get saved at a young age. And Lord, you would spare him from sin. And then he would stay close to his mom and dad, and especially he would stay close to you. And Lord, he would grow up just to be a shining light in a dark world. And Lord, I pray that you give the pastor and his wife wisdom and how to deal with being parents in a changing society. And they would rejoice in the fruit that you would give them from this. Bless them now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's go. We're going to go to junior church, you and me. Bye. Have fun.
Hey, brother. She is just a blessing. And she went to nursery this morning just to allow some of our ladies to. the service. I have known Saber family since 19. Did you say 94?
5.
95 is when we moved to Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And so I knew Brother Saber before he was a preacher. And when he worked at the FAA, he was an instructor for air traffic controllers, traveled all over the world, really, and trained air traffic controllers with the FAA. And he was a sold-out servant of God before he ever entered into the mission, the full-time ministry. And just a very sincere man. He was a song leader at our church. He was a deacon at our church. He headed up a children's program there. Was faithful at soul winning. And so he's not just doing it. He's not just in the ministry for the money.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm sure from the FAA ministry. But his home was always an enjoyable place. And all his children are grown. Always an enjoyable place to be. They had a very special family. And him and his wife and his children are still very close. So his four children serve the Lord in various capacities. He's got two boys one is in the mission field in Mexico, and another is headed to Iceland here shortly. Both his daughters are married to preachers. And so this morning he has credibility when he's talking about, and I know he's going to be a blessing to you. He's a blessing Wednesday night when he spoke. And this is all going to be recorded too, and we're going to make this available to you, and I know all of it will be a blessing. So Brother Shaker, you come.
All right. Thank you, preacher. Well, it's good to be here today. I do appreciate you letting me come. It's on. Yep. Let me come and be a part of this. What a great crowd this morning. Very, very grateful for that. I'm not going to lie to you. I miss our church. I miss the church where I pastor. I have a lot of fruit there. And it's just a joy for me just to watch God at work in our church, in our homes, in our family. I have four children, he mentioned. I have 10 grandchildren. 3 of those 10, I have trusted Christ. One of them, Elliot, turned 8 yesterday, and he's concerned for his 5-year-old brother, Quincy. He's very concerned for him, so much so that Elliot wrote a tract and gave it to his brother, Quincy, hoping that would help him. I never heard of that in my life. I thought that was pretty good. Now, the good news is, and I hope you take this well, we had there was what they call the Kentucky shootout. We're in Kentucky. Gun control in Kentucky means you hit what you aim at, you know? And so we were down in Kentucky, and they had a father-son camp. And it was a Friday night, Saturday morning, and they called the Kentucky shootout. And they had archery, and they had shotgun, and they had rifle with open sights and then sights. And then they had a handgun. And they had 13 and above and 12 and under. And my 8-year-old got second place in handgun. And you say, what do you use? Well, normally I use a .45. He used a BB gun. They had a good time there. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Ephesians chapter 4 in the Word of God. We were in Ephesians 5 in Sunday school. We're going to be in Ephesians 4 this morning. I will be quick because there is supper waiting. The symbol for the Methodist Church is a cross and a flame. The symbol for the Baptist Church is a casserole dish. And so we're going to try to deal with that. I understand we're on a time constraint. I talked this morning in Sunday school about strengthening the tie that binds the marriage. And I'm going to talk to you this morning during the 11 o'clock hour about how to have a healthy home. And I'm being very, very specific in that because it doesn't matter if you are a single parent. It doesn't matter if you come from a blended family. It doesn't matter if you come what society would call a traditional home. You can have a healthy home. Now, we bring different things to our home. I was raised in a Leave It to Beaver home. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you too young, you don't even know what I'm talking about there. I mean, dad worked, mom stayed at home, you know, and there were 5 boys in my family. I have a brother who's in heaven, but there's still 4 of us, and we still are a very, very, very tight family. My wife, not so much. My wife was kicked out of her house when she was 16. Her mom and dad divorced when she was a very young lady, and so she was living wherever she could find a place to live, working 2 jobs, going to high school. She just dealt with the demons of the world. And God was just very merciful to her. She went off to Bible college, and my brother introduced me. How many of you were here Wednesday night? Raise your hand. I told the Wednesday night crowd, it's such a good story, I'll tell it again, especially since she's not here. I had just graduated from flight school down at Fort Rucker, Alabama, and was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I was going up to go see my brother on the while he was in Bible college outside of Detroit in Pontiac, Michigan. And so I told him when I was coming up, I said, hey, I'm coming up for the weekend. See if you can set me up while I'm up there. And so he found this naive, blind girl. No, she wasn't blind, but she new to the college. And he said, hey, my brother's coming up for the weekend, and we'd like the double date if you're interested in going. So she and I and my brother and his girlfriend went out on a double date. And my wife and I went to the Red Robin. We went to the Pied Piper. We went to the Pied Piper. It was a buffet. My wife was a poor college student. She went up to the buffet 4 times. She was really trying to impress me. You understand? 4 times she went up to that buffet. And then we went to a mall, and she and I sat in JCPenney in the furniture section, and we talked the whole time we were there. And so we're talking, and I just knew, man, this was it. This was I honestly dated a lot down in Enterprise, and I'm thinking, this is it right here. And so I called her and said, hey, listen, you got your Valentine's banquet coming up. I'd like to take you out to your Valentine's banquet. And she asked my brother Mike what he thought, and he said, yeah, that's great. And so Mike and Robin were up there at Pontiac. Me, Kenny, I'm down at Fort Campbell, and I'd go up and see her, went up and saw her again, and then went up, and we got engaged. 6 weeks. I'd met her, and 6 weeks later, we were engaged. And I remember driving up to Pontiac. My brother Mike, she'd, you know, actually spent more time near Mike than she was me. And I'm driving up to Pontiac to go see her. And I've got the ring, and I give her the ring. And she opens the box, and she looks at it. And she looks at me, and she says, oh, Mike, I love you. That's my brother. Immediately, she starts crying. And I'm thinking, I have a permanent get-out-of-jail-free card. But she throws it back at me. I mean, good night. Now when she does something wrong and I even look at her, she says, don't look at me like that. You knew what you were getting when you married me. You know, but God's been good. I'm very, very grateful. She's followed me all over the world. And she followed me when I took a $100,000 a year pay cut. She followed me when we moved to Kentucky. And it's just been a wonderful life together, and I'm very, very grateful. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start off in Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to look down to verse number 22. Ephesians 4:22. If you come and see me for counseling, almost always I start in this passage of Scripture right here. Ephesians 4:22, the Word of God says this, that she put off, that's the two key words right there, that she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You're a child of God? He's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, you're a child of God? There's some things you need to stop doing. That she put off, stop doing the former conversation, the old life. There were things you did before you got saved that a child of God ought not be doing. That's what he's saying. And he said, you need to stop doing those things. That's what unsaved people do. That's what he's saying right here. He's saying there's some changes that need to be made in your life, and you need to stop doing those things. Okay, but he's not done. Because I'm telling you this. The Christian life isn't about rules. The Christian life is about a relationship. Do you understand the difference? I love my Heavenly Father. But because I love my Heavenly Father, there's some things that I should do so that I please Him. Does that make sense? Because I love Him. And so Paul's saying the same thing to the church at Ephesus. You're a child of God. You need to act like a child of God. If you're going to act like a child of God, there's some things you need to stop doing. Verse 23, the key verse. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at verse 24. And that she put on. See, there's the two key words right there. That she put on the, what are those next two words, class? New man. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, let me summarize this because this is the foundation of our message, okay? Here's what he's saying. Hey, child of God,
Stop doing those things you ought not be doing. Those things you were doing before you were saved. Those things that lost people do. Those things that carnal people do. Those things that have that people do that have no desire to please the Lord. You need to stop doing those things. You can't go where you used to go. You can't say those things you used to say. You can't act like you used to act. You're a child of God. And then in verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I want to tell you, that's the secret. I don't have time to get into that this morning, but that's the secret. You know what we're not doing? We're not being renewed in our minds. You know what we're doing? We're too dependent on our character. We're too dependent on our work ethic. We're too dependent on our own strength. And we are not being renewed in the spirit of our minds. And friend, for every child of God, there needs to be a place that you go. There needs to be a place that you go. Away from the cares of this world. Maybe it's just shutting the door and hiding in your bathroom. But there needs to be a place that you can go so you can get along with God and be renewed, be made young again. Remember how it was when you first got saved? You felt like you could walk on water. You felt like you could call down fire from heaven. You felt like you could do all those things. That's what he's saying. We need to get back to that place to be made young again. Verse 24, and that she put on the new man just as much, child of God, as there are some things that you and I need to stop doing. It's more than that. My kids, when they were young, had the same middle name that your kids had when they were young. It was Rachel, no, no. Jacob, no, no. Nate, no, no. Kendra, no, no. That's all, it seemed like that's all we tell them. That's all we do. No, 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 no. But life's a whole lot more than that. Just as much as there are no, no, no's in the Christian life, there are yeses. Yes. Yes, just as much as there are some things we need to stop doing because we're children of God, there are things we need to start doing because we're children of God. There are people that I fellowship with now, fellow believers who love the Lord. I have a family in my home, a family. My children, by God's grace, serve the God of their Father. Can I tell you, I know who I am. I lived like a dog. I'm going to die like a man, but I lived like a dog. And my children, by God's grace and mercy, serve the God of their Father. And what a humbling thought it is for me. And we get to enjoy life together and we get to spend time together. I'm telling you, Pastor, I'm trying to plan a trip where my boys and I come up here and go salmon fishing. Yeah. Any hunters in here? Anybody in here like to hunt? Hunting's a big deal in Kentucky. It's a big deal. First day of rifle season, you can't get a hotel room. We got so many out-of-state people coming in to go hunting. It's unbelievable. But I love doing those things with my kids. But same for the child of God. I have a new family. It's called our church. I have a new life. I have a new direction. I have a new purpose. I have a new heart. I have a new father. I have a new goal. I have a new destination. Because I'm a child of God. And that's what he's saying right here. Hey, stop doing those things that you ought not be doing. But it's a whole lot bigger than that. We tell our kids no. But at the same time we're telling our kids no, we need to be providing a yes to them. Does that make sense? Now, you know what he does? Here's what he does. He illustrates that. There's a question I ask. You ready for this? When is a door no longer a door? Anybody know? A door is no longer a door when it's ajar. You'll get that. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I got that. When it's ajar. You ready for this one? When is a liar no longer a liar? You say, well, when he stops lying. Ah, you're only getting half the truth down from this passage. Look at verse 25. I lost my page. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The first part of that verse, that's the putting off principle. Wherefore, putting away lying. Those are the things we need to stop doing. But remember what I said? Just as much as there's things you and I need to stop doing, there's things we need to start doing. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. When is a liar no longer a liar? Not when he stopped lying, but when he's speaking truth to his neighbor. Look again. Look at another one. Skip down to verse number 28. See verse 28? Let him that stole steal no more. When is a thief no longer a thief? Let him that stole steal no more. That's the putting off principle. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. When is a thief no longer a thief? Not when he stopped stealing, but when he has actually gone out and gotten a job so he can earn money, so he can give to people who have needs in their lives. That's when you can tell when a thief really has started getting victory over his stealing. Look at another one. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When you were young, did your parents or your grandparents used to tell you, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all? That's just the putting off principle. Look again at what that verse says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know when you and I can tell when we get victory over our rotten, filthy, critical tongue? When we're using that same rotten, filthy, critical tongue to say good things about people. You know, we got an election coming up Tuesday. I hope you're registered to vote. We got an election coming up Tuesday, and I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to find a whole lot of good things to say about politicians. My dad used to tell me, when I was young, he used to say, Kenny, you know how you can tell when a politician's lying? When his lips are moving. That's what my dad used to tell me. But you know what? When I can get to the point in my life, when I am saying good rather than critical, hurtful, spiteful, vindictive, negative things, then I know I've got it nailed down. But now look at the focus of the verse, because this is the key to our home right here. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, I have to tell you, I am a fan of the King James Bible. I am a fan of it for a whole lot of reasons. That's a conversation for another day. But there's a term that's used in here that the King James Bible have that a lot of the modern translations have changed, thinking that it's not a big deal. Are you ready for this term? You ready for it? It's called a polysyndeton. That's your word for the day. A polysyndeton. You know what a polysyndeton is? It's that word and. And that word separates each word in the phrase as though it could stand alone. In other words, you could say, because of that polysyndeton, you could say, let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice. Let all wrath be put away from you with all malice. Let all anger be put away from you with all malice. Let all clamor be put away from you. Let all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what the polysyndeton does. It lets every single one of those stand alone. Such a powerful statement that every single one of those could stand alone. The word and. Our modern translations pull that word out as though this is just a series of things, but it's not. Every single one of those is a focus. I want to show you this morning the keys to having a healthy home. Verse 31 is the negative aspect. We're going to focus on the positive aspect of a healthy home, which is verse 32, which says this: and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Verse 32, no polysyndeton. So in other words, here's what that means. It means, let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice. That's the negative aspect. And the positive answer is, be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Let all wrath be put away from you, and the answer is, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. The anger, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. The clamor, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. The evil speaking, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. I don't know what the problem is in your home. The bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, that's like the noise. The stressful environment. Your home probably doesn't have that. You don't know what I'm talking about. The evil speaking. You know the answer. What the answer to that is in your home, so you can have a healthy home. And I'm going to tell you this. Church is an important part of your life, but it's more than just church. If 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is all you got, you're in big trouble. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Let me say just a couple things about that, and then we'll go eat lunch. You know that word kind means what is suitable or fitting to a need. What is suitable or fitting to a need. You remember that story? Well, we won't take time to turn there, but do you remember that story in Matthew when he talks about a man in need, and he goes to somebody and says, what man, if he, you know, he needs a fish, you'll give him a stone, or a serpent, and he needs a piece of bread, and you give him a stone. That's not being kind. And the Bible says, if I'm going to have a healthy home, if I'm going to be the right kind of a Christian and have the right kind of a home where my children aren't resenting me with my Christian faith, where my children, they want to follow in mom's footsteps and they want to follow in dad's footsteps. If I'm going to have that kind of home, kindness must be prevalent in the home. It means I need to be willing to provide help with the problem, regardless of what that problem is. That's what kindness means. For example, my children come to me and they have a spiritual problem. A kind father with a gentle spirit will sit down and work with their child on that spiritual problem. My girl, boy, Rachel, Jacob, Kendra, Nate, that's our home. All of our kids made a profession of faith when they were either 4 or 5 years old, all of them. When Kendra was 12 years old, she goes to summer camp, maybe 14. She may have been 14, preacher. She goes to summer camp, and she's struggling with her salvation very badly at summer camp. So an honorable Christian worker, a gracious lady, Mrs. Crownover, sits down with my daughter Kendra and walks her through her need. And Kendra said, you know what? I don't think I'm saved. I need to get this settled. And as a 14-year-old girl, now remember, she's 4 years old, 5 years old. But as a 14-year-old girl, my daughter Kendra bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. You know what I did as a dad? I threw a fit. I called the church and I chewed them out. I didn't really do that. How dare you do that with my daughter? She did that when she was 5 years old. Who do you think you are? You just want another notch on your belt, don't you? You know what? When I heard about it, I sat down with my wife. I said, sweetheart, what's the objective here? We want to make sure our daughter's going to heaven. More than anything in the world, I want my kids, I want my grandkids in heaven with Dad. And I said, let's not be proud. Let's not resent anything. And my wife, she was grateful just like I was. We don't care about the fact whether it was 4 or 14. We just care that she's saved. So your daughter at 4 years old, she comes to you and she prays this prayer and you feel like you got it all settled, and she comes back to you at 14. Mom, Dad, I really don't think I have it settled. So now our pride kicks in. What are you saying? I didn't do a good enough job back then and show you how to be saved? And so instead, remembering this verse, well, sweetheart, sit down with Dad. Let's talk about this. What can I do to help you? Dad, I'm struggling with understanding God's will for my life. Let me make it personal here. My son Jacob's a missionary on the mission field. My son Nate's 26, almost 27 years old. Graduated from Bible college a couple years ago. He's been the manager of his own Radio Shack for years. And you know, I'm just not seeing the burn. You know what I mean by that statement?
my son who had said he was called to Iceland. I'm not seeing the fire. Now he's serving the Lord, faithful in church, winning people to Christ. He's won two of his employees to Christ, and they are faithfully serving the Lord in church. But talking about being a missionary, so now what am I going to do? Kick my son out? Call him a reprobate? The Bible tells me, be kind one to another. My son loves the Lord. Can I tell you what has always been our desire for our kids? He said our kids are missionaries and the other two are married to preachers. I have never cared about that. For my kids. You know what I've cared about for my kids? I just wanted my kids to grow up to love God. Because if my kids were growing up to love God, really, then God would lead them down the right path. And I'm okay with that. I don't care if the path is as a Radio Shack manager, as a soldier in the military. As a soldier in the military. I don't care what it is. As long as my children are loving God, I believe God will direct their paths in their spiritual decisions, in the physical challenges they face, in the emotional ones. Mom, Dad, if you've ever had teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. When your child starts getting to a certain age, your child moves out and some stranger moves into your house. Some stranger who sits around and cries at the drop of a hat for no reason. What just happened? What did I miss? Why are you crying, oh, Daddy? First time, and you know, we're not, my family, we were never big on the dating scene. You know, but first time they come home and they feel like they're in love, and all the emotions that go through their body, the Bible teaches me to be kind. Fellas, your wife ever had a bad day? Yeah, be careful, she's watching. Ladies, your husband ever come home in a bad mood? Do you think Paul is telling us to be kind for those times that it's easy to be kind? He did, you know, 99% of the time, he doesn't have to tell me to be kind to my wife. She's easy to be kind to. But there's that 1%. I need to be reminded to be kind to my wife. Because it's not always easy. It doesn't always come naturally. Now, you fellas don't understand what I'm talking about on this one. But then the next one that talks about there is that verse is, be a kind one to another, tender-hearted. That word tender-hearted, you know what that is? That's the emotions on the inside. You know what we have a tendency to do? And I'll tell you, sometimes it's tough for the military guys. I pastor military guys. I was a military guy. Black Hawk down, there were three pilots killed over there. Two of them were very good friends of mine. Ray Frank was Mike Durant's co-pilot. I flew with Ray for 4 years. Cliff Walcott was the first one killed. I flew with Cliff for a year. I know that life. I'm not even going to go into some of the stories because it may hit too close to home here. I pastor some guys who crossed over to the dark side. And you know what I'm talking about, especially you 11 Bravos. And we have a tendency to be hard. And we're afraid to show the tender side. But here's what God does. He loves you enough that he tells you you need to be tender-hearted. Paul's telling the church at Ephesus, listen, you may have a problem in this area, so I'm just going to tell you right now. You need to be tender-hearted. So here I am with my child who comes to me with a problem. Here I am with my wife who maybe she's having a bad day. And she comes to me, and I may say all the right things, and I may do all the right things, and I may act all the right way, but inside my heart is not tender. And my friend, the Bible says to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If I am not tender-hearted on the inside, it will come out. You need a healthy home. I need a healthy home. And if we're going to have a healthy home, we're going to have a home where we are kind.
we're going to have a home where our hearts are tender. Some of us, that's such an alien concept, we don't even know what that looks like. But I want to challenge you. When you're dealing with others, remember Christ. Which leads me to my last point. Ephesians 4:32, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, and then it says, forgiving one another. Now, it would be nice if there were a period there, but there's not. Because he goes on to say, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I want to talk about that word forgiveness, and we'll be done. If my home is going to be a healthy home, kindness must be prevalent. I taught our children at a young age, if it hurts, it's not funny. You know how, you know, in my family, five boys in my family, you know, we were the ones, we'd sit back, lay back on our backs, and we'd pull our knees up to our chest, and one of the brothers would sit on our feet, and we'd just cannonball him across the room. You ever done that? And it was really funny when my brother broke his arm. I mean, that's just how we were. You know what I mean? I mean, we were that way. You know? But I teach my children, if somebody gets hurt, it's not funny. Even emotionally. It's not funny. We pick on people, and we sit back and we laugh, and we are being reprobates when we do that. That's not biblical Christianity. Kind, tender-hearted. But if my home's going to be a healthy home, it's going to have to be a home where forgiveness is prevalent. You know that word forgiveness? There's two different words that's used for forgive. The first one, remember when Jesus is on the cross, what he says? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I have to tell you that forgiveness was not given that day. You say, preacher, how do you know forgiveness wasn't given? Because Jesus Christ died. If God had issued forgiveness that day, Christ would not have needed to die. But not only did Christ need to die, repentance needed to take place, and that didn't happen until Pentecost. But that word forgiveness, you want to know what's interesting about that? It's the same word, and we don't have time to turn there. It's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 4. When the Bible says Jesus saw those fishermen mending their nets. And he said, basically, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. That word left their nets. That's the same word that's used for forgiveness. Do you know what biblical forgiveness is? Leaving it there and not picking it up again. Some of us, we carry our hurt around like a badge of honor. Hey, remember when your husband hurt you? And here we are carrying that hurt around. Oh, no, I forgave them. But we're carrying that hurt around like a badge of honor. And we won't let it go. And my friend, if I am not willing to let it go, I am not practicing biblical forgiveness. Some of us are hanging on to the wrong that a loved one has done for us. And if we don't let it go, do you know what happens to that wrong? It turns into bitterness. And you say, preacher, you don't understand what my wife did to me. You don't understand what my husband did to me. You don't know what my children or my parents did to me. You know, my wife has two sisters. Both of them have no relationship with their dads. They have no relationship with their children. None. And you know why? They're going back and blaming what mom or dad did so many years ago. Now, did that really happen? Oh, it really happened. It happened to my wife. But I'm going to tell you this. My wife has refused to live there. And my wife has forgiven her family. And she has chosen to love her dad. And God has given us a good relationship. She's a better Christian than I am. God has given us a good relationship with her dad. Some of us are unwilling to let it go. And the bitterness is just filling us up. Can I tell you something? You will not have a healthy home if you don't have a healthy dose of forgiveness in your home. You think about what you did to Christ. What you did to Christ put him on the cross. And you're not willing to forgive your family? And I'm not willing to forgive those who've wronged me after what I did to Christ? I got to tell you, I got saved as a 10-year-old boy. The sins I committed after I was 10 years old, I got to tell you, in the eyes of society, they were a whole lot worse than the sins I committed before I was saved. I did that to Christ. But that's only one definition of forgiveness. Let me give you the other one and I'll be done. The other one is found in Ephesians 4:32. Remember I said when Jesus was on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Let it go, and don't pick it up again. But then Ephesians 4:32, be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Do you know the word for forgiveness there? Do you know what it means? It basically means no strings attached. You say, what do you mean by that? I'll forgive him as long as he never does it again. You just attached strings to that forgiveness. In Luke chapter 17, I believe, verse number 3, the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples about forgiveness, and he said, here's what he said. If a man sin, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And they said, how often does that need to happen? And he said, as much as 7 times in a day. Now the Lord Jesus, the all-knowing God who said that, knew what was waiting for him right around the corner. And he was telling them, and when he hung on the cross, he was practicing what he had preached to his disciples. But you know what we do in our homes? We attach strings to our forgiveness. We put all these caveats. Well, I'm going to forgive them as long as they don't do this. Or I'll forgive them if they're willing to do this. That's not biblical forgiveness. And my friend, can I encourage you this morning? You and I need a healthy home. And if we're going to have a healthy home, it's going to have to be a home full of kindness. It's going to have to be a home where we are tender-hearted. And it's going to have to be a home not just where we say we forgive, but it's going to have to be a home where we exercise biblical forgiveness. Now let me finish by making this statement. The Lord Jesus Christ offered forgiveness when he died on the cross. He's willing to forgive you for the sin in your life. Now, there are people, I'm confident, who are sitting here in this room this morning who have never taken advantage of that forgiveness that's been offered. The forgiveness isn't automatically there. Repentance needs to take place. That's what happened at Pentecost. And that's what happens in our lives. In other words, here's the issue. I don't know what you're trusting in for the forgiveness of sin, but if you're trusting in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Maybe you're trusting in your baptism for forgiveness of sin. You're trusting in the wrong thing. Maybe you're trusting in the good works, and you may be a great person, but really, think about it. How do you think God's going to feel when you stand before him and he said, you know, I sent my only son to die for you. And you're trusting in what you did on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin, not what my son did? I don't think God's going to take too kindly to that. And you're here today and you've never trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. You need the forgiveness that only Christ can offer, where he will set it aside, never pick it up again, with no strings attached. You're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Today's the day. You need to say yes to Jesus.
You need that forgiveness of sin. You're here today, and you're home. You've got great struggles. You've got great needs. Maybe there's bitterness welling up. Maybe you've never exercised forgiveness for people in your home. Maybe you're not being kind. Maybe you're hurting in being tender-hearted, even in your marriage, even for the people who are in your home. You want to have a healthy home? Let's do what God says, and let's watch what He does. Amen? Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning, and you say, Pastor, I'm that one who has not trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know that I have forgiveness of sin. Preacher, I need forgiveness of sin. I've got questions about that. You're here today and you've got questions about salvation, or you know you need salvation. Would you let me be your friend and pray for you? You're here today, say, Pastor, be my friend. Pray for me about this need of salvation. I'm not sure. Heaven's my home. I'm not sure I have forgiveness of sin. Would you pray in a moment? Would you pray for me about that? Friend, if that's you, slip your hand up right now where I can see it. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I have forgiveness of sin. Preacher, pray for me about that. If that's you, let me see your hand right now. Slip it up right where I can see it. Oh, God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Wouldn't you like to know that today? Wouldn't you like to know that? If you'd like, we have a lady who can take the Word of God and show you how you can have forgiveness of sin. And you never have to worry about that again. Wouldn't you like to do that? God bless you. In a minute, she's going to play. When she does, I want you to step out of your seat and come down the aisle. The pastor will be right here. And we'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can have forgiveness. Wouldn't that be awesome? God bless you. I want you to do that, okay? You're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I am saved. I do have forgiveness of sin. But I'm struggling with having a healthy home. The kindness is missing. I'm dealing with so many stresses on the outside. There is not a tender heart. And preacher, I promise you, there are some issues where forgiveness has not been dealt with in our home. Maybe it's one, maybe it's several, maybe it's all of those things. But you're here this morning and say, preacher, we need some things to change in order for our home to be a healthy home. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. Let me see it. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I see that. Are there others that would join these who've raised their hands? Say, preacher, when you pray for these, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. When you pray for these others, thank you, ma'am. Pray for me. Preacher, I need a healthy home. And I'm struggling. Thank you, ma'am. I see that. I will pray for you. I need it. Yes, sir. Thank you. I see that. I will pray for you. Preacher, I need a healthy home. Pray for me this morning. Here's my hand. Preacher, don't forget me when you pray for these others. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Here's what, God bless you, ma'am. I see that. I will pray for you. Here's what I want you to do. No pressure. We have an altar here. An altar is a place of confession. It's a place of humility. You are coming to this altar and humbling yourself with what God already knows. And so you are going to come and humble yourself and ask God to help you in this area. And He is a kind, tender-hearted, forgiving God. And He will help you with this. You need to come. Heavenly Father, please. You saw the hands, but Lord, more important than that, you saw the hearts. And oh God, I pray that you would bless this morning. Lord, help us to live godly lives, but help us especially to have healthy homes. And Lord, I think of this young lady who raised her hand for salvation. Please, Lord, keep the devil away and don't let him whisper in her ear. But help today to be the day that she would say yes to Jesus. Lord, please, I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand quietly to our feet. As you stand, the piano's going to play. And as she plays on the very first note, preacher, as the pastor's down front, on the very first note as she plays, I invite you to come this morning. As she plays, you come. Why don't you come today? Come on. God bless you, young lady. You come on, preacher. She's coming for salvation. Why don't you come? This altar's for you. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Preacher, we're missing that in our homes. I'm struggling with forgiveness. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up.
Praise the Lord for it. Well, the Junior Church